Good morning. Happy Easter, or the more traditional responses, which I think are going to come up on the screen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Isn't it great to celebrate Jesus risen from the dead? Paul, at the end of 1 Corinthians, towards the end of it, says, here is the key, the core message of the gospel. He says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Here's the core of the gospel. This is what Christianity is all about. Jesus risen from the dead. Welcome to you. If you're new, if you're visiting us this morning, because it's Easter Sunday, it is great to have you here. Whether you're in the building or watching online, great to have you with us. Towards the end of the service, there will be communion for those in the building. So that means those watching online will stop the live stream at that point. But let me begin our service by prayer. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that Jesus rose from the dead, having paid for our sin at the cross. We praise you that he rose from the grave, victorious over sin and death, and that all who put their trust in him have hope for now and for all eternity. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a great Easter hymn, Thine Be the Glory. Please stand. please have a seat. Just a few things to say for church family news. Please take home the notice sheet. It was on your chair when you came in. Thank you also. A few people brought flowers. Well done doing that. Thank you for doing that. If you brought them, you could take them home and enjoy them yourself, but you could give them to a neighbour as well. Maybe on your way home, give them to a neighbour, ring on the doorbell, give them and say, we had these at church. We're celebrating Jesus' resurrection. Just wanted to give you a little gift. So you could do that. A few things coming up. Forward Focus meeting, that's our sort of annual meeting, on the 21st of April. If you're planning to come to that, please sign up. There's a lunch as part of that as well, so please sign up on Church Suite. We're planning on having a baptism service in May. Someone's expressed interest in baptism, which is exciting. If others are interested, keen to declare their faith in Jesus through baptism, please have a word with me or Chris afterwards or some other time. Also, we're hoping to run Hope Explored some point in the summer term, which is a 3-session course about the basics of Christianity. What's the hope that there is in Christianity, in the gospel? If you're interested in that, again, please have a chat with me afterwards. Like I say, it's 3 sessions, it's free, and it's a really helpful course to think about what Christianity is all about. That's it for Church Family News. I'm going to hand over to Chris, who's going to be speaking to us several times through the service.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Easter to everyone. I'm going to start from down here because it's a little bit different today. Behind me, we have 3 different objects. And I'd like you to try and guess what is inside object number 1. Anybody? Anybody else like to try and guess? Jonah's correct. For some people that might not be such a surprise, but for some people it might. It is a record player. Maybe a little bit unexpected. No, just kidding. What do you think we can find in the biscuit tin? Biscuits. Who thinks there are biscuits in the biscuit tin? 1, 2, 3. Let's have a look. Pencils. A first aid kit. Good place to keep a first aid kit. And finally, we have a nice big present. What could be in the big present? Is it heavy? It's not heavy. I won't lift it up. What do you think's in the big present, everyone?
A duvet.
A duvet? Anybody else? A certain sage of life presumed it's a duvet. A box. It's another box. It's empty. It's not empty. Inside this big, big present is a Bible. So almost not present, not a little bit unexpected. And so these are different things that are slightly unexpected. Maybe they make you happy, maybe they don't make you happy. If you're expecting a nice, really big present and you end up getting a Bible, does that make you happy or unhappy? You're in church now. although this might be a small book, it's got a lot of good truths inside it to fill this box. And you might be expecting biscuits, but a first aid kit is really helpful. And really, who doesn't like a record player? Does anyone not like a record player? Oh, it's Gracie. That's fine. You don't have to like a record player. Today, we're going to be seeing 3 of Jesus' really good friends heading out to visit his grave. They saw him die on Friday. They knew where he'd been buried, and they went to visit him. But they didn't find what they expected. What will they make of it all? As we listen to the story of the very first Easter morning, imagine the scene. It was so early in the morning, it was dark. Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' friends, was going to the tomb where Jesus' dead body had been laid. Lachlan's going to give us a small Bible reading, and afterwards I'm going to ask you what Mary expected to find. Lachlan.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken him, the Lord, out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
That was from John chapter 20. So turn to your neighbor. What do you think Mary was expecting to find in the tomb that morning? You have about 10, 15 seconds. Think a little bit about that. What was Mary expecting to find? It's not a very difficult answer. Okay, I think I've heard the answer a few times. Jesus' dead body. That's what Mary was expecting. So, how often do you lose things? Has anyone lost their favorite teddy bear before? Has anyone this week lost their keys, wallet, phone? One thing you can say about a dead body is that you don't expect it to get lost. Where you put it, you expect it to stay. But not for Mary that day. We heard what she was thinking. As soon as she saw it, she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Mary found something she didn't expect. She thought someone had taken Jesus' body, and she felt really sad. We're going to follow Mary's story, and I promise that even though it seems sad now, there is a happy ending. And some of you may know that ending already. Thank you, Bart.
We're going to sing our next song now, but before we do, I thought that this song does have actions, so I want to teach you the actions, all right? Some of you may know them, in which case, join in with me. So, and it's going to get faster, so this is going to see how well you can do with this, all right? So it starts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jesus Christ is now alive. And then you go 6. Now, this is where your fingers get entangled. But anyway, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He will never die again. That's great. We know it's true. He died for me. He died for you. And now he lives to be the king of you, the king of me. All right, you got it? You can follow me if you want. See if you can keep up with the singers and the speed we go at. Okay, do stand. Lachlan's going to come back up and do the next bit of the reading, and I think some actors are coming up as well.
So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Thank you, Lachlan. There was a lot of running around in that scene. And so we're going to take it one step at a time. I'm first going to just drop this away so you can see a little bit better. And then close this up. Hopefully you can see a little bit more. So, I'm going to start with the scene, and the actors are going to act it, so we can follow along with the Bible passage from John chapter 20. Mary left home first. She left home early in the morning while it was still dark, and she went to the tomb. And she found that the stone had been removed from the entrance. That's not what she expected. Shocked, she ran back home. Running. Banged on the door and told Peter and John, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and John raced to the tomb. John was in the lead and he won the race. It's his gospel. He makes sure to tell us that he was the fastest. I don't think he even told Peter it was a race. When they got to the tomb, John didn't go in, but Peter did. Peter saw the empty tomb, the moved stone, and the grave clothes lying inside. After Peter had looked, John looked too. He saw the same things and believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Thank you, actors. So up to this part in the Bible, Peter has looked and believed. So Peter has not yet believed. Mary has not believed. But John did believe. And that's okay. We don't all have to believe at the same time and at the same place. God works in each of our lives differently. The Holy Spirit shows us different truths in different ways and at different times. But it's important to be praying for each other that the Spirit can do the work that he does in all believers. So what about you? What is your explanation for this empty tomb, for the moved stone, the grave clothes left behind, the missing body? Do you believe in the risen Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus defeated death, that he was never going to die again? This is the story of the first Easter. But it's not over yet. It gets even better. Back to you, Bart.
So our next song takes us from the cross through the resurrection to Jesus' return. So let's stand to sing. I cast my mind to Calvary.
See his words, his hands, his feet.
8. Part of the joy of Easter is that we can have our sins dealt with, that we can be forgiven. Jesus didn't come to this world to tell us you're doing a good job. And he didn't come to say, try harder. He came to be our rescuer, to deal with our sin. And he dealt with it at the cross and at the resurrection. Romans chapter 4, we've been going through Romans as a church family. We're going through Romans. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Well, it's good and right, therefore, that we bring our sin to Jesus, that we confess our wrongdoing. So let's use the words that will come up on the screen. There's a response. So I read some of it, I lead us in some of it, and then we say the response together. You'll see on the screen. Almighty God, judge of all people, we come to you in sorrow for our sin. We have lived our lives our way, not with you as our King. Lord, forgive us. We have disobeyed you in what we have thought, said, and done. Lord, forgive us. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, forgive us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. Lord, forgive us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so, Father, we thank you that Jesus came to die for us, that we might be forgiven, and that he rose to life for our justification, that we might be declared righteous before you through what he has done for us. Amen. And now David Speed Andrews is going to come and lead us in our prayers.
And because Christ is risen from the dead, we can approach the throne of our Lord and God in prayer. So let us pray. Lord, we praise you for this time of Easter and all it means to us. For many, it is the delight of chocolate Easter eggs or decorated boiled eggs. For others, it's the joy of spending time with family. And we do thank you that we can enjoy these. But above all, we praise and thank you for the real meaning of what we celebrate at Easter, that Jesus came to die for us, to pay the price for our sin. In his letter to the church at Rome, Paul states that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but also that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. And we praise you that Jesus did not stay on the cross, nor even in the tomb, but he rose again and appeared to so many of his followers, showing that you had accepted his sacrifice once for all for our sins, to show that we can come into your presence as your children. We praise you that Jesus is alive today, that he cares for us and intercedes on our behalf before you. May the joy of Easter give us courage to face whatever comes in the days and years ahead, and forgive us when we live and speak as though Jesus was still in the tomb. Forgive our sins and selfishness. Take away our doubts. Answer our questions. And set us free to know and praise you forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we rejoice in Easter, there are many for whom Easter brings renewed persecution because they are Christians. Where in at least 40 countries, extremists of Islam, Buddhism, and other religions attack churches and believers. There are so many parts of the world where armed conflict is still going on, So let us pray for the world. Dear Lord, we cry out for our brothers and sisters throughout the world where they suffer persecution, violence, and injustice for their faith. We pray for their protection and that those injured or bereaved will know the Lord's comfort and healing. Lord, we pray for the world in need of your resurrection power, for a world where there is so much suffering and pain, where many have nowhere to live or call home, nowhere to feel safe or secure. A world where many are driven from their homes through ethnic cleansing and war, whose lives will never be the same again because of what they witnessed. May the risen Christ bring hope and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those whose lives are empty, who fill their days with things that may be valued in this life, but are of no value for eternity. For a society whose selfish desire is for self-fulfillment, but with little care for others. Where old values are discarded or turned on their heads. May the risen Christ bring our society to the foot of his cross and the door of his empty tomb, to recognize what Christ's sacrifice achieved for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who work for peace, for those who take risks to help victims of war, for those who sacrifice their own comfort and security, for those with no one to care for them, for those who give little thought to their own needs because they only see the hurt in others, for those whose words and deeds bring hope to those crushed by the experience of life. May the risen Christ fill them with his grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for any we know who are in particular need, those who are ill or anxious, depressed or afraid. And we pray especially for our King Charles and Catherine, Princess of Wales, as they undergo treatment for cancer. For those who are seeking guidance from God for the future, for those whose hearts are breaking, and for those whose lives are filled with joy, we pray for ourselves and all that is concerning us now and that all we may face tomorrow. May the risen Christ be with us now and always. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's conclude our time of prayer by joining in the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her.
So Mary went from her home to the tomb. She had no idea what was going on. She was crying her eyes out. She was talking to the angels, who were asking her why she was crying, which seemed like a silly question. And then the gardener arrived. At least Mary thought he was the gardener. And when the gardener said her name, Mary realized who he was. I love that detail. It was him saying her name that did it. And if you're trusting Jesus, one day he will say your name and you will be overjoyed. And you will smile and you'll know exactly who he is when he says your name. Mary was so pleased to see Jesus that she gave him a huge, huge hug. She must have wanted to never, never let him go. But Jesus said something amazing to her. He said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Listen very carefully to that. My Father and your Father, my God and your God. Jesus told Mary that she could call God Father, just like Jesus does. Father, my Father, your Father, my God, your God. She was part of God's family just as much as Jesus's. She was welcomed home. If you've seen the film Paddington, you'll know that it's a story of him being taken in by the Browns. He causes chaos, he floods the house, and the father, Mr. Brown, is far from convinced that he should stay at home. But in the end, Mr. Brown welcomes Paddington into the family, treating him like his own son, in a bear kind of way. Watch for the difference that it makes to Paddington.
Sugar, please.
Oh, look at this. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, big fella. What's cooking?
Marmalade, Mr. Brown.
Go on,
have a taste.
Mmm, delicious. Mm.
And just one sandwich contains all the vitamins and minerals a bear needs for the whole day.
So, does that mean I don't have to eat vegetables?
You said bear, not boy.
Sorry, Jonathan.
Thank you, Judy. Judy.
Now, has anyone seen... Ah, thank you, Mrs. Bird.
I think every home should have a marmalade day.
And a bear.
Especially a bear.
Home. Home. That's what Paddington says. Home. To all who are trusting in him, Jesus says, my Father and your Father. We've been brought into his family. We are home. It just doesn't change a little detail for what we do one day or one week. It changes who we are. It changes how we feel. Our sense of belonging, knowing that we can call God our Father. We know that Jesus completely belongs with God the Father. He is as good and as perfect as the Father is. But now Jesus says that everyone who trusts in his finished saving grace at the cross, as different as we are from God, we can be completely belonging to God's family. That's what the resurrection does. That's why we're celebrating today. It shows us for certain that Jesus has finished the job that he came to do. It's shown us in the letter of Romans, which Bart mentioned earlier, in Romans chapter 4, 25. It says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. He died because we sinned. We did things that separate us from God. But he was raised to make us just as if we'd never done wrong. That's what justification means, just as if we'd never sinned. He died because we sinned. He rose to prove that it worked, that we can be part of God's family. To be a Christian is to be forever in God's family, to have a forever father, a father who changes our story. He will always be with us. He is always good. And one day, we will go home to be with him forever because of Jesus. Look at John chapter 20, verse 18 again. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord, she told them, that he had said these things to her. Mary was so sure of Jesus' resurrection that she runs back to the other disciples and bursts in to share the news. I have seen the Lord. Mary saw the risen Jesus. She knew for certain that he was alive and that his father is her father, is our father. Let us believe her words. Let us feel her joy as we celebrate Easter together. I have a few quick questions on the screen. Turn to your neighbor, pick the question that kind of meets your age group, or you can ask your own question if you want, and then Bart will come up in a few minutes and finish off our service.
In response to what we've heard, we're going to stand and sing our next song, What is Our Hope in Life and Death? Please stand.